It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome back to another episode of Adventures in Business. This is your co-host, Amy Zander, and I'm here with the lovely Lisa. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing fantastic, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Just want to give another shout out. We are here in the lovely Risky Studios here in East Lansing. They make us look beautiful and sound amazing. So thank you again for Risky Studios.
Absolutely. I love this relationship that we have with them. Yes, it's so good.
For sure.
We have with us today Jessica that we'll introduce later, but we always like to start with, what have you been doing out in the town? What have you adventured and checked out?
Yeah, so this wasn't actually in Lansing, but the most recent thing that I did, my daughter's up at Ferris and she was in a play over the weekend. So that was her kind of first play she's ever been in. So we went to see her play. That was amazing. It was called Radium Girls. Mm-hmm. So that was a cool play. And then I do have something exciting to also say. So in one of our more recent episodes, you threw down a challenge for people to get involved with Junior Achievement, right?
Yes.
I don't know if any of our other of our listeners did that, but I did. And I went to the Lansing Tech High School and did some career talks through Junior Achievement, talking about what it's like to own a business and that kind of thing too. I talked to 11th and 12th graders.
Oh, how fun. Wonderful.
It was. Yeah, that was really fun. So I
just see the opportunities out there of what adults are doing in their life.
Yeah. And a lot of the kids had really good business ideas that they wanted to start. And we talked about those and, you know, some things they could do to get started. But the whole time I was there, I'm like, see, I can't wait to tell Lisa I did her challenge.
I love it.
What about you?
Oh my gosh. I visited this restaurant in the Lansing Shuffle called Beirut Kitchen. Oh my gosh. Lebanese street food. Mm. The people are so kind and so amazing. And the food is just delicious. I've been trying to do this no meat thing, you know, mm-hmm. not that I'll never eat it, but just cutting back. And oh, they had a dish that was just amazing. Nice. Don't know what was in it, but I went back and their hummus to die for. Mm.
So. Nice. And they're one
now
of the
I'm
more,
getting hungry.
I know. They're one of the more newer restaurants in there too, the Shuffle. Yeah.
It's such a fun place.
Yeah.
We're going to have Lansing Shuffle on our show.
Yeah.
They're signed
up.
Next month. It'll be exciting. Good. How about you, Jessica? What have you been doing around town?
Well, we're a basketball family. So basketball season just wrapped up. So we were going around town playing at all the wonderful gyms here in town. But we also followed into the state championship, not our team, but we still went to the Breslin and watched not all, but some of the state games and playoffs. And my kids did as well. And they really enjoyed the opportunity, the atmosphere. It was fun.
A lot of times it's just about the atmosphere.
Yeah. Right?
I am not a sports person, but you get around a bunch of people that are having a good time and cheering, and it just is uplifting.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
Well, and how cool for like high school kids to go play at the Breslin.
Right.
Like, this is what college could feel like or be on that court.
Yeah. And they were on the big screen.
Oh,
so
cool.
It was, really
cool.
Exciting.
How cool.
All right. Well, okay. Tell us a little bit more about Jessica.
All right. I have this amazing bio. So Jessica Starks is a business broker with Transworld Business Advisors, which is a leader in the confidential marketing and sales of businesses and franchise. From business brokerage to mergers and acquisitions, they are the business sales specialists. Jessica received her bachelor's degree from Grand Valley State University in business administration with an emphasis on accounting and finance. Numbers, girl.
Yeah.
So before starting her own business, Jessica gained experience in public accounting firm, doing sales, working for a payroll company, and then 10 years of business banking. As her banking career advanced, Jessica was financing buyers, acquiring businesses. Realizing that there was a need in the market, Jessica wanted to help business owners exit their businesses. So a succession planner, she found that baby boomers did not know where to turn when wanting to retire. Although she thought of mostly baby boomers, she realized that other business owners needed to exit their businesses as well. So they built something really great, reinvested a lot of money, and they want to get it back in from their businesses and want to make sure that their customers are taken care of. Jessica wanted to give them an outlet to transition what they have worked so hard to create while leaving a legacy. She's married to Brad, has two sons. She mentioned in basketball, Carter 17 and Grant 14. And you're likely to find them boating or at a football stadium, basketball court, or baseball field.
Yes.
Welcome, Jessica. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Such a great bio. So much to unfold there. But tell us a little bit more about your Transworld business.
Yeah. So Transworld Business Advisors is a franchise. So I bought into a franchise we have over 850 brokers throughout the country and international systems, resources, thousands of buyers and sellers. So it's a really exciting company that's growing. I'm here local. So I help the local market, the local business owners, entrepreneurs in that exit, but also talk to a lot of buyers who are looking to get into the market. So just recently, though, I did invest in another business, Exit Factor. Exit Factor helps businesses get ready to sell. So again, I'm helping local business owners with consultants on the team. I don't know if you know Tom Donaldson, but he's a celebrity here in town and has worked with several business owners throughout his career. And now he's talking to them about exit.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So what made you, you worked in the bank, you were helping to finance people, but what made you decide that I want to buy this franchise? This is really what I want to do. What was that burning desire?
Yeah, I loved working with business owners. I'm helping them finance deals, acquire other businesses. I just loved what they've created, what their businesses provided to the community and employees. My husband and I started investing in commercial, or not commercial real estate, but real estate, residential apartments, houses. So that transaction mentality was part of it as well. But really all the stakeholders involved in a business, it would be detrimental to the economy, to the employees. I mean, there's so many stakeholders that are affected by a business closing the doors that it's very important for us to keep these businesses going strong and transitioning to a new buyer.
Excellent. Excellent. So if somebody was looking to buy or sell their business, you know, the confidentiality is critical. You can't get out when the news gets out on the street, it really impacts your business negatively. So walk us through the process of somebody that was looking to buy or sell a business.
So selling a business, we'll start there. You need to make sure you're ready to sell. I can't force anybody to sell their business. So emotionally, you have to be ready because it's their baby a lot of times. So it's really having the conversation of where you're at in your business, what your timeline is for when you want to transition it. So we have that initial conversation that can either lead into, okay, they're ready, let's go. Or maybe we can make their business better, more profitable, worth more, get it ready to sell so it actually sells. Because there's a lot of businesses that are mentally ready, but they're not ready with all their ducks in a row to sell. So if they have time on their side, that's really where Exit Factor comes into play. And that's why I thought it would be worth the investment to provide to clients. So once you're ready to sell, we do market your business on multiple business for sale websites. We have thousands of buyers already in our database. We co-broker with other brokers that have buyers that would be a good fit and are looking for your business. But we do this confidentially. So we're not putting signs in your front yard or putting your address on marketing sites or a picture of your business on a marketing site. We say general information of general location, whether it be county or state. General industry information, a small write-up. My write-ups aren't very detailed because I want a buyer to inquire and have a conversation with me before I just send out information, because there's aspects to a business that might intrigue someone and there are aspects that is not what the buyer is looking for. So I always like to stir up that conversation. From there, we negotiate the deal, and that's really half the process. The other half, the other half is due diligence, working with attorneys for purchase agreements, working with accountants for allocation of purchase price, and then getting to closing. Of course, you have the landlords involved, you have franchises involved, banks involved. So
there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you handle for people that are looking to sell their businesses.
Yes.
And collaboratively, because
absolutely,
you need information from us to get it from them. So,
and people have never sold a business. Most people have never sold a business before.
Right.
Just like I've never changed oil in my car. So, you know, it's really important to have somebody who's been there, done that, walk that with you.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So the Exit Factor, is that really for somebody that's like, I've made the decision, I'm ready to sell? Or do you have, do one of the components have succession planning involved? Even if somebody's had a business for 3 years, they're not ready to sell, but we need to think about succession.
It's never too early to think about succession planning. So if you have 12 months or more before you want to sell, It could be 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. Exit Factor can help educate you on what a buyer looks for in the process. The more time you have to make those changes, the better set up you will be in your business. So we can work for a year. We can pause Exit Factor. We can come back when you're ready to exit and talk further about that. But we talk about books and records and getting those in order. And that is a huge part of the process.
Processes, getting processes nailed down.
Yes. Absolutely. That's another part of it. Yeah. And, you know, who's your team of people in your business? What standard operating procedures do you have? Manuals for, you know, the next person to take over? Yeah. And if you have a chance to grow your company, we talk about that too. So absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the differences between selling a business that's a like a brick and mortar business versus a business that's a service?
Yeah. Yes. So I have my real estate license, so I can sell real estate in a deal. I don't sell it just if people are looking to move locations or lease space right. or whatnot. But if your business owns real estate, then some buyers will want it and some buyers won't. So we never know who your buyer is going to be until the end of the day. So leasing space is perfect too. Buyers, again, there's some buyers who want the real estate and some who are like, I don't want to be a property manager right. and have all that headache. So it's really finding the right buyer, what they're looking for, and the seller. Because the seller might be, yeah, I can hold that piece of real estate and start getting rental income from my buyer. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. I mean, there's so many things that are unknown until we get into the deal, but it's really uncovering what the seller wants out of the transaction, if they want to sell the real estate with it, or if they don't. And if there's a landlord involved, that's a third party. Right. And honestly, they're the kings to our deal. Some are very unreasonable, but not a lot. I mean, a lot of sellers do appreciate their landlords and what they've done for them, but landlords can kill our deals, just like a bank can kill our deals if they don't qualify. So,
you know, Amy and I were talking about services because we both provide services. Mm-hmm. You provide services and when you think of somebody, even a chiropractor, if they go to sell, you know, what are they selling? And they're generally selling a book of business.
Right.
And so when it comes to how do you work with somebody that has a service oriented and that's their brick and mortar, right? Yeah. It's their book of business, not necessarily the building.
So it is important to make the business bigger than yourself. And that's by adding employees. That's by changing the branding of your business. So, you know, if you have your name and your business title, you know, let's try to rebrand. So it's not just about you. It's about a team of people. In a chiropractor situation, that's a very high level educated person that only a chiropractor can take over because they need those qualifications. Right. But buying that chiropractor business is way more valuable to the new buyer because they've done all the hard work. They have the clients coming through that door. They have the cash flow. And so it is important to have that transition time after the sale that the seller is introducing the buyer in a warm environment and making sure that they're going to care for the patients as much as the seller had cared for the patients. So it is a delicate situation.
Yeah, it is. I was listening to my veterinarian and you know, she's like, I can't retire. I don't have anybody to take over my business. I can't just leave you guys to anybody's hands, right? And I think that's what we get. We love our people that we serve and we just don't want to turn them over to anybody. It has to be that right person, that right vetting or marriage, however you want
Absolutely.
To look at
it. You know, and that's the buyer process. We would get multiple buyer inquiries and some just aren't the right buyer. And that's fine. I mean, sometimes people are removed from their business emotionally and are truly operating it as a business. They aren't as emotionally tied to it. But at the end of the day, you know, a win-win for everybody is to feel good about who your buyer is.
I was looking at your website this morning, getting ready for this interview, just looking at some of the businesses that are listed on there for sale. And it seems there's a big range of prices. So can you talk a little bit about maybe do you have a low end that you don't go under to work with people or kind of how you decide?
Yeah. So on a low end, there's a need for sellers to sell. One, it could be to get out of a lease that they're looking to get out of because that's a liability and obligation for them in the future. So they might have a business that isn't worth much. But the liability they need to get out of is worth a lot to them. We do help service the small businesses, but the easier businesses to sell are the ones that are making money that somebody can live off of and afford a living, afford a debt payment. So those are, you know, the businesses maybe earning above $100,000, because if you have a debt payment, plus you need to feed your family, you know, that that takes up a portion of that. Right. And so I would say deals above $100,000 or really above $250,000 on prices allows for more of that flexibility. And I would say the deals 250 to a million are probably the easiest ones to sell just because it provides that flexibility that somebody can leave their corporate job and come and buy a business and afford to do that. And then you have the lower middle market deals. So those are the deals, let's say above 2 million to 10, 20 million. And, you know, those are bigger groups that are coming in, strategic buyers that are looking to buy those types of businesses, PE groups. So we service all those.
Are you feeling overwhelmed when it comes to planning for your retirement? Do you want simple, relatable information you can use today to plan for tomorrow? Check out the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast, hosted by Dave and Nick, certified financial planners with Shotwell Rudder Bear Financial Planners. They make retirement planning easy and enjoyable. Discover practical advice to create a retirement strategy that fits your lifestyle and budget. Get ready for market updates, intriguing finance headlines, book reviews, special guests, and inspiring case studies. So grab your favorite cup of coffee and join them at the table as they talk about everything finance and retirement. Go to srbadvisors.com or search for Kitchen Table Finance wherever you listen to podcasts.
What has been your funnest industry to work with?
Oh boy. I do love service businesses. I do. B2B service businesses. I guess I get it, right? I do that. And but I put a deal under contract this week, and it's an arts, crafts, entertainment type studio, but I didn't advertise it like that because I'm not artsy. I probably wouldn't have inquired about it. How did I advertise it? It's a semi-passive opportunity in the entertainment business, and it's making really good money. I don't know. I just find excitement in seeing what people have created that and where they've taken their business, the personal stories. Mm-hmm. I'm not a creative person. That's probably why I invested in a franchise, because they created it for me.
There's your process.
And there's my process. There's my branding. So anyways, I do enjoy seeing what people create.
Yeah, but you're providing this opportunity and probably relief for some people, especially people who have a business that they don't have another generation that wants to take it over.
Yeah.
Or like we mentioned earlier, they don't know what to do with it. They don't want to just leave it to anybody. I mean, that's got to be such a relief. Because when you start a business, you're not thinking when you start it, how am I going to sell it? I mean, not usually, unless you're in the business of buying and selling, but that seems so far away.
Right.
And then
and your head's just down and you're just grinding away. Yeah. There are a lot of sellers out there that don't know about the business brokerage community. Right. Because again, I am real estate licensed, but I don't consider myself a residential agent or a commercial agent in focusing in those areas. I am a specialist and good at selling businesses, and people don't know about the industry. And it's so important to get the word out there that the business brokerage community is a niche, that we do focus on transitioning operating businesses, because there's so much wealth that these business owners have put into and reinvested in their business and heart and soul, and they've created something great, and they have employees and families that they feel obligated to take care of. To just shut the door is not good for anybody involved in that.
Right.
The customers need to be serviced. So it's just a great opportunity to do that.
Has it been your experience as a business broker seller that there is predominantly a male industry? Are you one of the only females, or is it kind of mixed?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do find that there are other females in the industry, but not as many as there are men.
Sure.
And of course, I think there's more female brokers on the east side of the state, and on the west side of the state, I think there's just a couple of us.
Right.
It is a niche. You know, there's business owners, man or woman, but if it is a man, they have a wife And the wife is usually part of our conversations. And I think emotionally being tied to their business, us as women can maybe navigate it a little bit differently. I mean, we still have to be strong as business brokers. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my clients, I want you to be mad at me. I don't want you to be mad at the buyer, you know? So I want you guys to have a good ongoing relationship, but, but it is an emotional process to sell a business. And then there's some business women business owners that want to work with women.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. That's nice that they have that option.
Exactly.
I think in general, I think it's changing a little bit, but I think in general, women aren't always as practiced in talking about money and things like that as men are. And so it's could be even more difficult for a woman business owner.
And educating. It's all about education through that process. Right.
It is. It is. It is about educating. You know, you talk about emotion and feeling and, you know, I got my blood, sweat and tears in this. What's my sweat equity worth? Yeah. How do you evaluate sweat equity?
When we talk about allocation of purchase price can be allocated with real estate, inventory, the product you're selling, equipment that you use in the business, goodwill, which is kind of that blood, sweat, brand, cash flow, what we would consider like pie in the sky number, you know, because it doesn't have any hard collateral on it. What else did I miss? Sometimes allocation of purchase price is a non-compete agreement. And I may have missed one, but
like a book of business.
We would consider book of business like goodwill. And which then generates the cash flow to the business. So a buyer wants to know what a business makes. That's like the first, it's the questions that are asked. What business is this? And what does it make? And I want to see the financials on it. That's the second question. The value is a multiple of what the seller is making or a multiple of EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization, all those technical accounting finance words. So it's a multiple of that. So if you sell, if you're making X dollar amount, you times it by a multiple, that is what somebody's going to offer you. Mm-hmm. And then from there, that's allocated to all those items I talked about. And goodwill, banks will finance goodwill. That's what we have the SBA for. The Small Business Association is a program that helps banks feel comfortable with financing that blue sky, the not hard asset.
Right.
They're a great organization.
Absolutely.
So I know we touched on this a little bit earlier. I just want to clarify for our listeners out there that might think, I should maybe start thinking about my business. Is there a sweet spot to really start like 5 years out, 1 year out? Because I know some people are like, for whatever reason, have to sell soon.
Right.
But other people are just like planning this. Is there kind of a sweet spot time frame to start talking to somebody like you?
Honestly, I don't think it's ever too early to have a conversation. I mean, with that conversation, it will pique interest of certain areas that could be worked on, or, you know, I try to bring a buyer's eyes to a situation because without us getting through to a buyer, we aren't selling your business. So we got to think like a buyer in this conversation. So I would say it's never too early to start building a relationship because we want to position your company as best we can for when the time is right and when you are ready. We always say a business owner, like, let's say you don't want to retire or sell for 10 years. It'll happen before what you probably think it will. So it's never too early to have that conversation because life happens. So like I said in my, or you said in my bio, you know, I thought it was when people want to retire and it is, it totally is, but people get burnout. I am hearing so many people are burned out lately for so many different reasons and they just want to sell their business or they have another opportunity and they, and that opportunity cost is more than what their business is making them. So they want to transition their old business and into the new business. People are relocating or divorce or illness. I mean, there are so many reasons why people want to sell. So it really is not too early to just talk, and build like that trust.
And like Lisa mentioned, in the process, you're creating that succession plan. Whether you have a date in mind to sell or not.
Right.
That's an important thing for all businesses to have that kind of succession.
And there's a lot
plan.
Of businesses who aren't fortunate to sell to their employees or their family members. Right. And those two parties may not be the best to sell to anyways. It's a hard thing to swallow, but it is the truth. Yes. A lot of businesses fail when you go down the generations at certain points. So looking outside, there are buyers that are ready to buy.
So there's two things I want to transition to take you out and talk a little bit, but you had mentioned burnout. So you're not only in Lansing, you're in Grand Rapids. Yes. You just opened or invested in this other opportunity. You have kids that are in travel basketball. So you're all, how do you, right? Wear all of these hats. You've got rental properties. I mean, Jessica, you are wearing so many hats. And every time I see you, you've got that smile on your face. You're upbeat. You're positive. How do you keep that all together for everybody else that's out there trying to juggle all those balls and wear those hats?
Well, thanks, Lisa. It is busy for sure. When I made the decision to invest into the other territory of Grand Rapids, it just made sense. I live in between the two towns. So that was that. Made sense. And so did Exit Factor. It all like made sense and fell into this piece of the pie. My husband asked the same thing, like, why are you doing this? And I know I am, growth is one of my words this year. Growth, believe, and delegate are my three words this year.
That's good.
yes. So I know when I chose to invest in these opportunities, I can't do it all. And it's who can help me and service our clients. And so, yes, I, you know, might be the face right now, but Tom Donaldson is now with the Exit Factor as a consultant, and we are looking to add more consultants on Exit Factor. But Lisa, you actually put me in touch with a wonderful virtual assistant program. So I had a virtual assistant for 15 hours a month. Now it's 20 hours a week. Okay. And by the end of the year, my goal is to have a full-time virtual assistant, maybe even an executive assistant. I've looked at outsourcing some bookkeeping recently. I haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet, but Melanie McNamara suggested this book. I think it's called Who, Not How. And so I picked up that book. I started reading it. And yeah, there are who's that want to and have the opportunity to do. And it's so enlightening to read that book. And then I'm also part of a women's CEO group here in town. And the encouragement to have other business owners to talk to about these opportunities, to encourage, but know that we've all faced growth struggles. So I know this growth phase is going to be a little bit more, but again, it's who, not how.
Exactly. Exactly. When you said delegate, right? There are other people out there that can do things, leveraging our work to someone else just takes some of that weight off of us. And the accounting part with your accounting background.
Yes,
it's hard for me. A little hard.
Because
you can do it. Doesn't mean you have to do
it. I know.
Right?
I know. You're preaching to the choir. Because the piles of, you know, rental stuff, bills. Getting my taxes submitted this week. Oh my goodness. So anyways.
Yeah, or even
check, it's done.
Yeah, even sometimes the personal aspect too, like it's not just business, but like maybe hiring that house cleaner or, you know, that kind of stuff. That's been my huge lifesaver in my life.
So I don't stress about that.
I've always said if I like won the lottery, I'd want to start a nonprofit to help people who are, where both people are single people that work to like get their house cleaned because it's such a, takes stress off. It provides jobs for other people.
Exactly.
And I just think it's important. It's important anyway, sidebar, but I just think that I like the delegate part for sure.
And I love, you know, my kids are observing everything we do, good and bad, but I love the opportunity that they can see through what my husband and I do. And, you know, I hope that provides some motivation to them as they grow into young adults.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, you probably do to some degree, but like you are the woman around Lansing to talk to about this stuff. People are always saying, oh, you got to talk to Jessica Starks. Jessica Starks, your name always comes up all the time about when people talk about businesses or selling or succession planning. It's just like, you are the woman to talk to.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good people all around here. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Good. So what is the best piece of advice you have ever received as an entrepreneur?
This is where you're going to pause the recording. So the best piece of advice at this moment, I guess, I'm sure there's moments of the best piece of advice that I've received in the right moments.
Right.
And the who, not how, is what's going to get me to the next level. And that in this moment is so important to me because I've always done it myself it's been hard for me to delegate. It's not an easy thing to do to give up control. Yes. And that is huge. And that's the only way that my growth this year is going to happen and has happened. But a piece of advice I would give to an entrepreneur is, or a young adult, is you never know what your experiences will lead you to. So did I know what a business broker was when I graduated Grand Valley with an accounting and finance degree? No, I never heard of what a business broker was. But through all the experience that I've had, through my careers, through my managers, through my opportunities that I've had laid out in front of me, I had the courage, though, to make a jump. So you have to believe that everything's leading you to where you should be, but you also have to have the courage to believe in yourself.
And take action.
Oh, for
sure.
Yeah, that's the biggest. Yeah. So grow, believe, and delegate.
Love it. What is something surprising that a lot of people don't know when it comes to selling their business that you think that they're just not aware of?
I think people that are looking to sell their business are scared. So it's what they don't know that scares them. Right. And it brings fear to the process and it holds them back from having a conversation. So education to know is going to help bring that seller to become more comfortable, to know there's options out there, to trust in the process. Mm-hmm. To get them to where they want to be.
Right. Or just knowing that somebody like you exists.
Exactly.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
It has been so fun having you
today.
I just love learning about what you do. And, you know, the first time you and I met, you were doing a presentation for the Athena Wynn Group.
Oh, yes.
And,
Years ago.
Yeah. It was. And just to watch, you know, where you're going, like Amy said, your name comes up all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And if I'm not dropping it, somebody else is.
Thank you guys.
I think it's just really cool to watch this. And I was excited to hear you expand it. And now this other entity and good stuff.
Yes, thank you.
One of the
As an entrepreneur, you have to have a little crazy in you too.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Sorry. No, that's very true. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You have to be uncomfortable with unpredictability.
Yeah, for sure.
Lots of good stuff.
Yeah. One of the things we kind of wrap up with is we have lots of listeners out there and people who know people. We just want to give the opportunity to tell our listeners if there's anybody in the Lansing area that you really want to have coffee with or meet or, mm-hmm. Could be business related, personal related, could be specific or general. But is there anybody out there that you want to tell our listeners, hey, if you know this person, I want to meet them?
Business owners, of course.
Yeah.
So yes, I would love to meet business owners if they brought up the word retirement or mm-hmm. I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. Because even if they're burnt out, maybe they're not ready to sell, but I can help guide them to someone who can help them get through what they're going through. They're not alone. So yeah, I love meeting business owners. Yeah. I know that's very generic, but
no, it's not. But also I was thinking network opportunities because you are definitely around town and in the networking things. Yeah. But if any of our listeners have a networking group they go to and think that Jessica will be a good person to come and speak to their group or mingle and mix, please reach out. All of her information will be on the show notes for this episode. But while we're here, tell our listeners your website address, how they can best get a hold of you.
People can find us at Transworld Business Advisors. Our website is tworld.com. And then Exit Factor is exitfactor.com. So check out our website. So it'll give you some background information. Our listings will be posted as well as with Exit Factor, an example of what our process looks like. And then my email is jstarks@tworld.com.
And that's T, like the letter T.
Yes.
And then, okay.
Yep, world. Yep.
Perfect. Awesome.
Yep.
So if you're interested in being a business owner and buying a business and you've got a little bit of crazy in you, reach out to Jessica. She's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be with you today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you too.
We've enjoyed having you on our show.
Absolutely.
Thank you again to our listeners for joining us for another episode of Adventures in Business. This show is recorded in Risky Studios in East Lansing. It's produced by Zedia Media, and your co-hosts are me, Amy Zander, and Lisa Fisher. Yeah. We release new episodes every Wednesday. You can find us at zediamedia.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we hope that you join us next week for another episode. And in the meantime, go out and make it an adventure.
This is a Zedia Media production.